Hey, what's up, Black and Jew listeners? It is episode 28, and guess what? We're sponsored by Audible.com. That's right. We just got an Audible sponsorship. If you want all your erotic novels read by Gilbert Gottfried, B. Arthur, and, you know...
I love that erotic
Joan
novel.
Rivers.
Oh, that Joan Rivers erotic novel.
Yep.
Not as good as the Betty White one.
Woo. Go to Audible.com and put in the code Black and Jew Erotic. All right?
Black and Jew Erotic. Black and Jew Waifu.
Yeah, Black and Jew Waifu. And you'll get your free erotic novel.
Mom, just to let you know that Reggie's just kidding. So don't go on.
I'm just kidding about that one. That one's a joke one. The real one is actually we are sponsored by Mediocre Cartoons on Fox every Sunday, except Simpsons. Yep, Mediocre Cartoons starring fat man with a overly complacent wife and very shitty kids.
You know, it's funny. I was actually going to do fake advertisements this week also.
What?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I'm like, when I want to do fake advertisements. Like, say that we're like
legit
selling
thinking about that as well.
Jim's Widgets. Well, you did it. You pulled the trigger before I did. It's like, buy Jim's Widgets. Jim's Widgets. The best widgets for your money doing what widgets do. Oh, man. Yeah. So what's new in your life, Reggie?
There's a lot new in my life. Well, I picked up a new comic book series.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
It's called All New Ghost Rider by the new Marvel reboot called Marvel Now. If you ever want to pick up a comic book right now and you're like, what do I pick up? Go pick up the new Ghost Rider. It's really well made. Very beautifully written, spacious writing.
I need to read more comics. I don't read enough. I love the medium, but I don't read enough.
I was actually really getting into them. Haley, my girlfriend, bought me these comics. We had a nice little day where we went to a comic book shop, and then she bought me those comics, and they were all not trade paperback, but the initial the monthly serials.
Yeah.
And the new Ghost Rider is amazing. And I've also been reading Invincible. Have you heard of Invincible?
No, I have not.
It's by Robert Kirkman, the same guy that writes, what's it called? The Walking Dead. Not the TV show. The TV show is inspired by his comic book.
Gotcha.
If you want a good intro into comics, listeners, or if you're already really into comics and you haven't picked up Invincible, pick it up. It's amazing. Oh, and also want to plug this at the top of the show. Your boy, your favorite co-host, Reggie, the black part of the Black and Jew podcast, is putting on a show. That's right. I'm putting on a show. My job on the 26th is premiering the movie Skeleton Twins with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig. Yeah. I'm going to have two shows there. Mike, hopefully he can come through and perform. And
hopefully. Yeah. I unfortunately... Bill Hader could not be there, so
yeah,
get me instead.
Bill Hader could not be there for his improv with Amy Poehler and Kristen Wiig.
They had to reschedule.
Yeah, they did. It was really unfortunate. I was like, Bill a million, what's up? What are you, $1 million Bill? What are you doing? All right, I understand.
Yeah, Bill does that sometimes.
Yeah,
he's a kooky guy.
He's a kooky guy.
That's exciting. It's cool that you're doing, because the Coral Gables Arts Cinema, that's a great place.
Yeah, it's a great place, and it seats 144 people, and it's opening night, so the comics going there will get a good show. The crowd's going to be maybe a bit older and younger, mixed, because it's an art house cinema. So
yeah. Do you get a lot of older people in the art house cinema?
Oh, hell yeah. We get nothing but older people.
That's funny. I went there once to see I'm So Excited, that movie with the... Almodovar movie where they're all in an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to go see that with my girlfriend, but my mom likes to go there.
Oh, does she?
My mom is the one who introduced me to indie filmmaking.
Really?
Yeah. She would always, she loved Almodovar.
Mrs. Marianoff, I actually drove around with an actor that was in an Almodovar movie.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm so bad at it.
It's okay. Don't worry.
Almodovar? How you do it?
I think it's Almodoro. Almodora?
No, it's Almodovar. Right? Right? I don't know either.
Look it up. But anyway, that place is really cool, and I'm really glad they're giving me this opportunity. And you know what? I am going to make a bang-out show. I'm going to get four comics. Each are going to do 7 minutes, and then I believe they told me that they're also going to promote, the comics I invite. So... good exposure. good exposure. And also, a nice book show is always a nice book show. You know? Those are very valuable.
Wait. It's Amenábar. Amenábar? Is that how the fuck do you pronounce that? Am I thinking of the right person? Alejandro Amenábar?
So excited.
Yeah. Is he the one who did that?
Yeah, that was him. Almodóvar.
What is it?
Wait, are they two different people? Alejandro Almodóvar? No, it's not a person. I'm making that up. I don't know. I don't know. I'm bad with my Spanish directors. Yeah. What's it? Los Amantes Pasajeros. What is that in a... It's Pedro Almodóvar.
Pedro
Almodóvar. That's it. Pedro Almodóvar. I'm confusing it with Alejandro Amenábar, who makes some other fucking... God, they sound so like... I don't know how to tell
respect
the difference.
Names, Mike. Just because so your excited. White devil tongue can't pronounce...
I just can't. Yes, my white devil tongue.
Too busy whispering lies to Native Americans. Take the time to pronounce.
I can't pronounce these horrible Spanish names that are far inferior to my to our Anglo-Biblical names.
So yeah, so that's what I'm doing. That's what's new in my life right now. And like very Invincible's nice. Going well, very well. I've like read through like 51 pages. I mean, 51 issues in the matter of like 2 days.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You're a speed reader. Speed comic reader.
Yeah.
You know what's exciting that happened to me?
What's exciting? Please tell me.
It's really weird how what is exciting to me as I get older, because I got a new method for brewing coffee.
Oh, sweet. Right? And is that what that fancy little jug was out?
Yeah. It looks like it's called a Chemex.
A Chemex?
Yeah. They were invented in 1941.
Walter White over here.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, actually, the way you brew it. It's like you pour it over the grounds. It's like a multiple, it's like a manual drip coffee maker. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have your coffee pot or whatever. It's like that, except you do it by yourself. And it's not like the pour over that I usually make, because that takes a lot of maintenance. This one's cool because you just kind of pour it over and just let it drain, you know, and you don't really got to think about it. But it tastes like 100,000 times better than any drip coffee maker
really?
That you could have. Oh, yeah. It's way better because it's not like...
I've never trusted any drip coffee maker or any of that stream. Like,
it's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Yeah, like those fucking pod coffees, which are getting more expensive now.
Oh, like those little disc that you put into the...
Yeah, the Keurig Ready Brew pod coffees.
Yeah, those suck. We have one at work.
Oh, dude, I can't drink that shit. It's so disgusting. Like, my parents have one. And I drink it, and it's horrifying. I know it sounds so... I'm such a pretentious coffee dick, but it was a horrific experience. Just mauled. People maul their coffee. Because people just... They treat beverages so poorly sometimes, you know? Like you don't do that to food, but you'll do that to coffee, you know?
No, it's
like
you wouldn't... food. I mean, we have Hot Pockets and Lean Cuisine.
No, but those are like... Yeah, that's sort of, but those taste good. It's mishandled is what I'm saying, you know, because it's like you wouldn't cook eggs to a rubbery consistency, let them sit out on the counter for a few days and then reheat them back up in the microwave. Like, that's what essentially what pod coffee is. You grind it, like God knows, like, cause you shouldn't let ground coffee sit for more than 5 minutes and then you grind it like fucking months in advance. It's disgusting.
And then it ships over to you in who knows what container.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Then it gets to you and you don't really get to it immediately.
No.
And then it's just still sitting. You put it injects the needles into it and then shoots the hot water.
Yeah.
Then you get shit water.
You get shit water. That's pretty much what it is.
You get shit water and, oh, look, got to start my day. Need my nice brew.
Fucking gross.
Oh,
man.
My gosh. Yeah, that was great.
It's like drinking a Skol vodka, you know? It sort of gets the job done, but at what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost? Yeah, my friend actually got me some Juan Valdez coffee. And it was pre-ground, and it had been sitting around for, I'm not exactly sure when it was. And I made cold brew with it. And the last time I made cold brew, I made it with Panther coffee that had just gotten out of the roaster.
Nice.
And the difference is
worlds.
Huge. Like I every time I think I'm just being crazy about it, then I try the alternative and I'm like, Jesus, this is fucking really bad. Holy shit. Apologize if you're listening, but you know.
I only drink your coffee.
Yep.
Yep. No, I don't drink any other coffee. Like, if you make coffee and you offer me, I'm like, all right, I'll take it. Who knows when the next cup of Mike will come through.
Yeah.
And then other than that, I just, no coffee at all.
Yeah.
Unless I go to, like, Panther or something.
Then Panther's good.
Yeah, and then
Panther's
I'll pick something up.
I'm a big snob, but, like, I won't drink coffee at any place besides Panther or certain places that they make it.
Didn't
well.
You name like four?
There's Panther, Baklavan Coffee, and then I don't remember the other place.
The other one was like
Threefold Cafe.
Yeah, there you go.
Panther, Baklavan Coffee, Threefold Cafe. I don't know the other place though. Oh yeah, and that place downtown, whose name I can't remember, but it's still. Still delicious. Or wait, what is it? Starts with an E? Yeah, I don't remember. But it's fucking good. But yeah, I got a new... I roast my coffee at home. I don't ever buy it pre-roasted. And I got coffee from Yemen. Which is that's a weird place to get... Like, you don't think of coffee coming from Yemen, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, it's like, you know, right under Saudi Arabia there on the Arabian Peninsula. And it's apparent, like, the coffee is good, but they even say on the website, they're like, it's expensive. It's more expensive than usual than the other ones that I get. But they even say it on the website that, like, the coffee is mistreated pretty badly. Because, like, the processing is all right. And, like, the beans are really good, but the processing is not too good because of, like, just because of the infrastructure and stuff and the fact that they're really poor. The infrastructure in the place is horrible. So it'll sit in port. In like a human environment, which should never happen, for like a few days at a time.
Oh,
because
okay.
Yeah, so like it comes out
because there isn't a huge demand for Yemen coffee.
No, it's just that the way the country's set up is just fucked up. So then it comes out, and I'm like, wow, this coffee does look a lot shittier than other coffee I've gotten because like there's like little chunks and shards, you know? Like,
really?
Yeah, like it's not all the beans are whole. It's like fucked up, and it's more expensive. Like usually the coffee I get is like $7. A pound, and this one's like $8.50 a pound.
Did you get like some shrapnel in it? Like
coffee shrapnel. Yeah, and landmines.
A whole landmine. That's nice. That's good.
But I brewed it today, and it was fucking delicious. Like
so, even despite all its poor conditions, it was still.
It's
fantastic.
Still a great cup. Still better than Starbucks. Still a great cup of coffee.
Starbucks is doing soda now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Physio soda.
Good for them.
Yeah, they handcrafted.
Handcrafted Starbucks soda.
I like that handcrafted is a buzzword for like good, like that's an advertiser word, like handcrafted.
People use their hands to make it.
They crafted it. It wasn't make either. Handmade? No.
Handcrafted. I think handmade's for like stuff you buy on Etsy. Not necessarily for coffee.
Have you heard of that Tumblr blog called Sad Boyfriends on Etsy?
No.
It's just pictures that they take from Etsy of like the Etsy store. You know, curators, sad boyfriends posing for them.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Like, I want to look this up right now.
Oh, here's my boyfriend posing in my squid knitted scully. Like, my knitted squid scully.
Here we go. Oh, there we go.
Yep.
This guy in his scarf, he hates it. These guys are so sad. Oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. Oh, man. Jesus, that fucking hat.
This guy's posing with a hat that has dangly triangles on it.
Wow.
Like you listeners.
It's a hat. It's multiple earrings. It's another sad Etsy boyfriend. You poor bastards. These poor fucking bastards. That's pretty funny.
And you know, they're just trying to be like, you know, supportive. They're like, babe, I'll help you start your artisanal
seashell frame. That's fucking great.
I'll help you sell your Pabst bottle cap necklaces.
Pabst bottle cap, the number one quality Pabst bottle cap necklaces on Etsy. Oh man! So in more serious news, non coffee news, you hear about? I wanted to talk about this in the last episode, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it
because Rhett was so fantastic.
She was. That was a great episode.
No, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a great time, you know? Yeah,
and it was really good to reminisce and like be with someone that was there when we started up.
Yeah, like at the very beginning of both of our comedy careers. Mm-hmm. Like I would go to Sunday Night Smash Up all the time.
Yeah, same here. AV. Like I'd go there. It was a great room to have and it was conducted very well.
Yeah.
And you know, she gave me some tips and she's a good host.
Yeah, she is. She is a good host. She's got quite a bit of experience hosting. But yeah, she was there from the very beginning to see me bloom, my comedy flower boom. And then it sounds like we're having sex with each other. Oh, okay. That's weird. So anyway, so I didn't get to talk about this.
What do you want to talk
about? It was Stephen A. Smith, the ESPN guy, right?
This is already This is starting off bad. Stephen A. Smith is a black one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I worked with that guy for 3 years.
Really?
And by that, I mean he was always on the TV at the Heat store.
Oh, I thought you meant you worked with him like, yeah, I was his fucking assistant or something.
Like, this dude, he tried to hit on me once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sexually harassed him.
He spilled this smoothie, his Jamba Juice on my pants.
Try to show, use the loofah like Bill O'Reilly. What's your opinion on him as a person?
He's a pretty good sports pundit. I'll give you that. Like he knows what he's talking about. Like when it comes to sports, he sometimes hits the mark on like whenever, because ESPN has this thing where like if something racial happens in sports, everyone in the network has to address it once, and someone will say something stupid, and then we move on to the next thing. So Stephen A. Smith sometimes says some things that I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see where I can see that. That's actually a very good point. And then Skip Bayless is also another very good sports pundit. And their show is like very popular and well crafted for a sports show. You know, yeah. They have people yelling and they have famous people on. So
I heard that people say he's an asshole.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, okay. which kind of makes sense with
what he did now.
Yeah, because what happened was I forget, some sports dude got suspended.
Was it the guy that was caught on the elevator? Or
for knocking his then fiance unconscious and at an Atlantic City casino and then dragging her limp body from the elevator, all of it caught on surveillance video. Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice. So Ray Rice beat his girlfriend unconscious in the elevator and then dragged her limp body out there and was suspended for two games. Oh, that seems like an apt punishment. By the NFL. And Stephen A. Smith reacts to this and he says, "You should never hit a woman. But," and oh, don't say a but after that. If someone says something and then, but, like, I'm not racist, but you should never hit a woman, but I'm not saying she asked for it, but that there's nothing good's going to come after that.
Nothing good.
Yeah. So he says, "But what I've tried to employ," here's the but "what I've tried to employ to the female members of my family, some of who you all met and talked to and what have you, is that again, and this is what I've done all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions." Like, Oh, it's so frustrating when people say that.
Whoopi Goldberg also says some shit about this that was along the same vein, whereas she was on The View, which is, you know, quality. Mm-hmm. I guess The View. I've never seen The View. I'm only saying The View isn't quality because of poor jokes constructed about The View.
Yeah.
But what she said was along the same vein, where it's like, you know, women are asking for it.
Yeah. You know, look, I think that, like, this is what Whoopi Goldberg says. She said that no woman should be surprised if they make the decision to hit a man and the man hits back. Oh, boy. I don't know. I think Stephen A. Smith is a little more problematic than Whoopi Goldberg's. Because Stephen A. Smith doesn't say, like, he doesn't talk about hitting women. He just says provoke anything to provoke wrong actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of things, like a lot of people say, like, what the fuck is the problem with telling a girl not to hit a guy? Like, what's wrong with Steve Smith saying that? And I'll tell you why. This is why I think it's because it's not so much that it's okay in the context of a completely separate conversation, not about a woman who was beaten unconscious, right? If you say, "Hey, you really, women, you shouldn't hit men," right? I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that, right? I don't think women should hit men, right? But the problem with Stephen A. Smith is that in the context of what he's saying is that, the conversation always has to go to, but what did she do wrong to deserve it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's the fucking problem, because it creates a culture where there's some sort of, there's a little bit of a cop-out if a guy hits a girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know. I think that's fucked up, you know? And I think like that's the whole problem with it. It's not so much that Stephen A. Smith was saying like girls don't hit guys. He's not trying to stave off domestic abuse from women to men, mm-hmm. towards men. He's just trying. He's doing what everyone fucking does all the time and saying like, oh, what does she do to deserve it? You know, and trying to take the blame off of the guy, mm-hmm. or the male sex in general.
Yeah. I gotta be honest. I don't have the language to address this the right way. So please forgive me, Black and Jew listeners. But I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And this kind of goes back to how you know, boys are raised on this like whole mentality, like you don't hit girls, right?
Yeah.
Like whatever you do, don't hit girls, and that's you know, it's sewed into your brain since like you were little. And then finally, when you hit a girl, it's uh-huh. like, well, we've been telling him the whole time, don't hit girls, right? You must have done something.
Yeah.
So what you do? That's one, you know, that's one thing there.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
And then the other thing uh-huh. is we also just think of women and, you know, young girls and women as like, you know, these like, you know, like daffodils, you know, like little frail yeah. flowers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like once one of them, you know, exert, you know, like tries to, you know, hit or like do anything physical or like violent or stands up for themselves,
yeah,
plain and simple, then it's like, okay, you've relinquished all your, you know, your womanly shield. That's it. Now you're free game, you know? Like...
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I understand that.
You've like, you know, like it's like when you know what? Perfect example.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry for you saying perfect, but Christy Mack, the porn actress.
I was just reading about. Did you read the police report on that?
I did not.
It's really fucking upsetting, but continue.
Christy Mack, her boyfriend, the MMA fighter who I don't know his name. I don't want to call him
War Machine.
War Machine. I don't want to call him War Machine because
this he legally changed his name to War Machine.
What? Sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
What's well, WM.
Yeah.
Because I feel that War Machine makes it like it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
War Machine kind of like makes this whole situation like much less than what it really is.
Yeah.
But WM, he you know, he hits her mm-hmm. and I was having dinner with some friends when this yeah. story came up and like one of them read it on their phone
mm-hmm.
and then immediately after like, you know, the initial like reaction and discussion of it, immediately after there were jokes about it.
Oh,
and the
Jesus.
Reason there were jokes about it was because she was a porn actress.
Oh yeah.
It's not if a mom got hit like
yeah.
that. If anything like that. No. What happened with Christy Mack was that because she's a porn actress, because she's a sex worker.
Yeah.
She like again relinquished like her woman shield or her womanhood or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's she's a porn star. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she you can almost it's is it victim blaming? Like, you know,
yeah,
she's
a total victim blaming. Yeah, yeah,
victim blame is like she's a porn star. She knew what she was like getting into. Oh, she was probably really promiscuous or whatever. And then like immediately after like the whole initial conversation of it with my friends, jokes were being made, you know?
Oh,
and it
dude.
Was and the reason why was because Christy Mack is a sex worker.
Yeah, not just some like,
yeah.
some housewife.
Not just some housewife or like some, you know, like some respectable, you know, person.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying sex workers aren't. Sex work is very respectable and I respect you for whatever you decide to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So
especially since I don't think any guy's in the realm to criticize it because you're consuming
exactly.
fucking the product of what the producers.
If you are so offended by these,
then why you jerk off
these,
to it?
by these sluts, then stop. You know,
stop fucking jerking off to it.
So yeah. So with what Stephen A. Smith said,
yeah,
is just feeding into this whole like, you know, it's making men infallible for like,
yeah,
you know, like it's okay to hit because they've reached yeah. a certain point. Nothing. No. This dude is a football player. That man was an MMA fighter.
Yeah,
they were fully aware and they're fully aware of their capabilities.
Yeah, yeah,
They knew full well in that situation that they could have exercised the most minimal amount of their strength.
Yeah, he almost killed Christy Mack.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
it was, yeah. It was like, man, that police report was
brutal. She had a ruptured liver.
It was horrifying, dude. Yeah. Reading that police report was terrifying. It was like something out of a horror movie, honestly. Like, oh, man, it's fucked up. And yeah, it's fucked up that people... I'd actually went on a website that was writing about it, and I was pleasantly surprised to find in the comments section that people were like, that guy's a piece of shit. And like, none of them said anything about her having it coming. And I'm like, wow, internet, you surprised me. Except for one woman that's like saying how porn stars are horrible people, but she didn't address the hitting at least. I guess I can give her that. I don't know. But yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's a good analysis of something that's a little deeper than what I was thinking about it.
I hope so. Like I said, I don't really have a good command of this like discussion because yeah. I don't have the language to address domestic violence properly.
I think you did.
I hope I did. I remember like in that same conversation, yeah. like with my friends, I was with Haley, and then I said, "What was the reason?" And Haley, you know, she checked me and she's like, I believe she said, it's not reason, it's background. Like, that sort of thing. Like, yeah, what was the background?
Oh, okay, reason. Yeah. Because, yeah, she was in bed with another guy. So, you know.
But I had heard that they had split up. Like, WM really? And Christy Mack had split up.
Well, that's the background, that you have a guy. It's not the reason, but it's a background. It's like you have, the context is that this girl was dating this guy who's obviously very possessive, right? Or was dating or whatever. And then she's in bed with another guy, and then he finds that as a justification to almost kill her.
Okay.
And that's the background, you know? It doesn't mean like, oh, she had a comment or something like that. It just means like, that's the context under which this happened. And it's pretty horrible because that's ridiculous. Like, you don't kill someone for that. That's insane. He was so, like, I think he was like, I'm not going to discuss too much of the details because it's pretty traumatizing. Yeah, it was horrible, man. And I think Stephen A. Smith feeds into that too. And people are saying like, oh, but he said not to hit a woman. He's just giving him a safety lesson. Like, no, he's not. He's not giving him a safety lesson. If he really cared about female on male domestic violence, he'd address it in another context, which had nothing to do with the Stephen A. Smith or with Ray Rice, you know, like that's the problem. Is that it's always like, what did she do? It's this whole, or like, you know, if a girl gets raped, what is she wearing? You know, it feeds into that whole culture and condones that kind of violence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a problem with it.
And then, you know, Stephen A. Smith just basically says he taught his, like, you know, the female members of his family to like, just watch out. You're doing something that's really risky. And, you know, like, and that does not contribute anything positive to this discussion. And you know what? It's a sports show seen by millions of guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just seeing Stephen A. Smith, someone who's respected, to be honest, like he's actually a respected sports pundit. He's been in the industry very long.
Yeah.
And to see him express, like, he's a very smart man. Like, he does good journalism for sports, and he does this and whatever.
Yeah.
And like, to see him express that opinion just reaffirms a bunch of views of people that watch sports. You know, I'm not making fun of the you know, the sports fan. I'm just saying, like, if you're watching ESPN in the middle of the day and that show airs literally all day until 4.
Yeah.
Then you just, this message keeps on being sent to you. And like, Stephen A. Smith is like, you know, teacher so-and-so this. And then just
let's just say the demographic's different than the Oxygen Network.
Yeah.
He says, but at the same time, we also have to make sure that we learn as much as we can about elements of provocation. Like, God, Jesus.
There's like
fuck you, you asshole.
It's 2014.
Yeah. Elements like, of provocation. That's like,
well,
that's fucking ridiculous, dude. Elements of provocation. Like, what? You are, it's a fucking football player versus a woman, you know, like she, and she's not like an MMA fighter or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy to me. You know, like, what could you do that would provoke and warrant, like, that's not self-defense. Like, if you're against somebody, if there's that much of a power dynamic difference, there's nothing you could do. Like, self-defense, you could easily restrain that person. Let's say they were trying to beat you up. You could easily restrain them, you know? and like get the cops called or something like that. Like you don't need to, like self-defense is proportionate to the amount of force being used on you.
Yeah.
So if there's another guy that's your size and he hits you and you hit him back, like it makes sense. Cause you gotta stop them from the whole point is to stop them from hurting you. But if you're a football player and you've got your girlfriend, like there's way less force needed to stop that thing from happening, you know?
And you're totally right. And what I meant to say when I said it's 2014 is that we don't need to hit, like plain and simple. I hope this doesn't come off wrong, but like plain and simple, we don't need to hit. You want to fight someone? Call 911 immediately. Well, I know some situations you're not in a position to call 911 immediately. Like let's say in the elevator, I don't know if there was a signal or whatever, and she was in a closed room, you know?
Yeah.
You can't think, you know, you're in a situation, but like you want to fight, call your lawyer and then, you know, fight for $100 an hour and let's see how long this fight will last. Like, honestly, you are a football player. You are an MMA fighter. And you know, you get tackled every day. I'm not trying to say she's weak, but you know what? She's
very, very easy. And if you read the police reports, subduing her was, and in this situation, it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's completely irrelevant because there was never any physical provocation.
Yeah.
You know, and even if there isn't a situation where there's physical provocation, it's still irrelevant because you're way stronger. One person's way stronger than the other, you know? And like, I think it's bad that why is this knee jerk reaction always have to happen? You know? I think, and it feeds this culture, you know, where that kind of stuff is condoned. And this is something I wanted to ask you, and this is like kind of a rhetorical discussion that I was thinking about. All right. So, you know, I posted that video about catcalling, right? Uh-huh. And like, there's a bunch of people have been talking about it lately. They had that BuzzFeed video about how you shouldn't catcall women, you know, like, and there's like this whole idea of rape culture where it's like, you shouldn't, like, you should try, how do I phrase this? Like, you should try to like, inform men to not do things like that, or like it's okay, not okay to hit a woman, like in a situation with War Machine, right? Like that's part of a culture of domestic violence and stuff, and he probably felt like his quote-unquote territory was encroached on because this guy was sleeping with his girlfriend and he felt like he needed to lash out against it to preserve his manhood or whatever. Like I understand that you could probably get someone like a normal human being to stop catcalling through like an awareness campaign. Right. Mm-hmm. But is it possible you think to ever reach people like this?
Ooh, interesting. I was like, actually, like, is when there you anything were, we can do or are we that, totally powerless? You know? Kind of gathering what you were getting at.
Yeah. Are we totally powerless to stop this, to make a big dent in it? Or are these people are just sociopaths or insane people that will do this regardless? You know? I wonder.
This is, I don't want to play baby's first Freud, but you know, like Fisher Price Freud, but okay, with the situation with WM, you have this guy beats up other guys for a living.
Yeah.
You know? And I think in some small way, that's always like he's fighting, you know, using his fist, mm-hmm. getting real bloody and, you know, winning. And that's a very hands-on sport. It's not like, it's not, you know, it's no way baseball, you know?
No.
It's hands-on. You're in a ring. You're fighting. It's brutal. Mm-hmm. And in some small way, I think that constantly always reaffirms his masculinity or like whatever training process there is, whatever people are around him.
Yeah.
Like if you really think about the people that are around an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
And I don't want... Like, and yeah, the people around an MMA fighter and the fact that he's at a point in not only his career, his fame and the sport where like he has, he's dating porn stars, you know, like he's dating a sex worker. Damn. I just don't want this to go off the wrong way. I'm just trying to say like his masculinity is always reaffirmed and there's no outside presence to make these privileges he has and these systems like of oppression of oppression he still like enforces more prominent or more visible, you know? It's just him in the octagon reaffirming his masculinity every time. And you know, I don't think he's ever gonna catch wind of a catcall video on BuzzFeed. like,
yeah, I see what you mean.
And that's why, you know, that's where I come in with the baby's first Freud thing.
What's that? Baby's first Freud?
Like, you know, like, oh, let me psychoanalyze this whole situation. Like, so you have that. And then, you know, like you said, some, like, his territory is being, you know, encroached. Like, someone's coming on to his woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's where, you know, his, how many times has he had things taken away from him?
Yeah.
And like, was the other dude an MMA fighter?
No.
So some regular old Joe manages to, you know, like, sleep with Christy Mack, and that sets him off. How many things are taken from him? How many people can take things from him?
Yeah.
And what does this dude, does he sleep better than me? Does he kiss better than me? Does he have a bigger dick than me? Let me use my fist to solve this problem. And
because that's how you solve all problems in WM worlds.
Yeah. And the dude's name, he legally changed his name to War Machine.
He might have not, but I heard that he did somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's where
he calls himself War Machine. That's enough. You know, like,
where I think that comes in, like, to reach people that are in the peak of, like, they're like that. You know, he's famous.
Yeah.
How many famous people are held accountable for their actions like
that? That's a good
point. Yeah. You know, like, how many, you know, he's a white dude, right?
Yeah.
How many white dudes that are famous, you know, and have money are going to be held accountable for their actions like point. That?
I think maybe it's not, then maybe not this generation, but the next, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, that's how guys a lot are taught to solve their problems, through aggression, through force, you know? Like, if they're wounded in some way, they're not taught to, like, go inside and try to deal with it. It's the same thing with, like, a guy hitting on a girl and she rejects him. And he's just like, yeah, fuck you, you slut. You know, like, he has to act aggressively if he's rejected, as opposed to getting sad about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, if a girl gets rejected, she's not taught to deal with it by being like, well, fuck. Well, some people do, but most of them don't. It's like, you know, just, then she tells her friend, like, oh, this guy, he doesn't really like me and this sucks. And then I'm just going to deal with it internally, you know. But guys is taught, like, yeah, fuck that bitch, you know, for taking. That's what I think. It's like with guys, I think, like, guys act really aggressively with when they're denied sex, right? Or denied in advance, because having a lot of sexual partners is this thing where that's what validates your masculinity. And then if a woman denies you that, then you're being denied your validation of masculinity. So you react to her aggressively, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's hard. It's all part of this big culture of,
of that, you know? It's this box of masculinity.
What's really hard about it too, is that part of the box of masculinity is that you don't talk about the box of masculinity.
Yeah.
You know,
Mike's going to beat me up after the,
yeah. Like, I don't know how to handle this.
Like, it's this box that, like, men, and, like, you yourself and other men put you in, you know, it's the external and internal force. You're, you know, like, let's take the case of WM. Like, he's an MMA fighter training every day, you know, like, doing all that stuff. And, you know, his girlfriend leaves him for another dude. Mm-hmm. How many dudes around him do you think are like, yo, that fucking bitch, what are you going to do, man? Huh? What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? You're going to really take that? You know, maybe War Machine was fully aware. I don't want to take that away from him, but more than likely he probably wasn't. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But maybe he was fully aware he wasn't going to do anything. But then you got these other guys that come in, the guys he trains with.
Yeah.
You know, he's beating up a bag. You know, imagine that's this dude right here. That's what you got to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
Take
you
back teach what's him, yours.
Yeah, you teach him a lesson, you know? So he has, you know, people are pushing him and keeping him in this box of masculinity. He can't, you know, fully go through or, like, express or, like, mull over, like, whatever it is that's going on. And he's just getting these external forces keeping him in. And what's he going to do? You're going to, oh, War Machine, oh, is he going to be good for his next match? You know, am I going to be, like, War Machine thinking about himself, this girl just came on, like, this stupid girl, you know? Like, I'm War Machine, you know?
Yeah. Can't believe I can't lose to her, you know? And, you know, he said to her, actually, at one point during this encounter, which lasted for a while, and he got a charge of kidnapping because of it, because he, like, held her against her will. He, like, made her step in the shower. And then once she got out, he, like, pushed her down and was like, I'm going to take back what's mine. So that's very telling, you know, like, that he's like, oh, you're mine. You're not a person with your own thoughts and feelings. You're my chattel, you know, yeah. Like you're my property.
And that not only like this, that not only feeds into this whole culture, but what I said before about like her being a sex worker, you know, like, I guess, you know, when she's really,
she doesn't need to be a sex worker. Guys say that about girls all the time that aren't sex workers. You know?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's very true. But all I'm trying to say is like, you know, I don't know if like, you know what? No, I made my point clear earlier.
Yeah.
Just going to drop it. But like,
we're a long ways away from Yemeni coffee, huh?
Oh yeah. We're,
we're going, we've gone a different direction.
So, yeah. So this whole situation is,
but it's probably, you know, it's funny because you think like, how could you change something like this? How could you change the actions of some people like this? But it takes a long time. But it reminds me of this essay I read from the 1920s by a black man. And like the 1920s in the South, like for black people, whew, that's not a great place to be. So he talked about how this woman like stepped in a department store, this black woman, and this white guy beat the crap out of her, right? Because back then you could totally do that, and threw her out. And the guy was like, and the guy who did it said, oh, she's, or one of the bystanders was like, oh yeah, well, she's lucky that she got away just with that, because I've seen much worse happen, right? And that was the culture back then. And then black people too would be like, we're forced to accept that. And this guy was writing this essay, which is pretty brave to do in the 1920s. And he's saying like, why does it have to be like, that was the accepted truth, you know? And it's like, he's like, why does it have to be, oh, she could have had worse. Why can't it just be this kind of action is unacceptable, mm-hmm. you know? And you think about going from that to, you can't do that anymore. You know, it's not socially acceptable like it was back then. I mean, we've got a long ways to go in race relations, obviously, but it gets to the point now you can't just do something like that. So there's, over time, this thing that seems like just a accepted fact has turned into something that's a huge no-no, you know? Yeah.
It will take time, and it will take a lot of effort from everywhere. You know, it's you're very right. That's very true. Like we were there once, and now we're here.
Yeah,
and like thank goodness we're here.
But we still need to get over there.
Yeah, no, we still need to get over there.
Yeah,
as a lot of events that transpired in the past 2 weeks has it been.
Yeah, Jesus,
have shown we still need to get over there. And over there is something I see coming very soon. Like, well, in time, but like, oh my gosh, it's there. You know, there's forces we got to fight against, and there's many ways to fight them. And everyone aware, and everyone within or that has, you know, has experienced or has had something like this happen is doing their part. And well, I don't need to speak for them, you know. We need to get over there. That's what people need to take away from this episode. Yeah. We need to get over there. And then, you know what? And then some.
I think the first step, you know, is having more of an open dialogue about it, about men's masculinity box, you know? It sounds weird. It sounds like a weird transgender thing. It's my masculinity box. Keep my box.
When I took... what was this class name? I took I learned about that in UMass when I took this women's studies class.
Yeah.
And they put on a documentary done by this guy who does a bunch of like studies and papers about like masculinity. Yeah. And he was talking about like, you know, the box of masculinity, hegemonic masculinity,
mm-hmm.
is created by like, you know, men, yourself, you know, everyone that you grew up with, your friends, movies, TV, and all this. Movies like Raging Bull or like, you know, like Goodfellas and whatnot, you know, stuff like that, where like you got a bunch of like, you know, macho men just like...
That's how you deal with things.
Yeah, that's how you deal with things.
Yeah, and I would like it to be discussed without it being hijacked by MRAs. That would be nice. Because it's funny, because the masculinity box is what prevents the masculinity box from being properly addressed. Because then you got these MRAs that only know how to treat it with aggression and opposition. So they're like, well, we got to attack someone. We can't just talk about this bad thing. So let's attack feminists for fucking our lives up. They can't just have a frank discussion about it, you know? The testosterone fucks it up the whole dialogue, ironically. You're shaking your head. That's all you're going to do.
That's all. I just shook my head, guys. Like, God damn.
All I'm getting is a head shake out of that. Don't want the MRAs coming after us. They got a lot of free time on their hands.
they can Yeah, they got a lot of free times on their hands.
Yeah.
How long are those like text posts from the MRAs?
Jesus. Very long. It's sad though, man, because there needs to be a frank discussion about it, and that's what's gonna stop this kind of stuff from happening, you know? Yeah. Like and also like treating women as property. You know, because that's, I mean, women were property for very many years, so that you could see why that's still ingrained in our culture,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And, but then I think again, it's like, yeah, like with War Machine, with him, he's hopeless, or anybody like him currently is hopeless. But if you bring up a young boy trying to tell him through culture or whatever, that it's not okay to do stuff like that, and women are their own human beings, then maybe there's a chance of it.
Yeah.
I think that's like, that's weird too about like male sexual conquest, you know, like how we're taught that we just gotta do it at any cost. You know, I think there's been situations where like I've been with a girl where I maybe didn't even want to, but then it was just in my, like maybe I didn't want to, and then it was in my head like, oh, you got to, if you're in this situation,
yeah,
you know? And then like, there's no really forum to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and especially when I was younger, it was not something you bring up. So then it's just like, looking back, I'm like, what? Like I was in situations that I should have just extricated myself from, you know?
Yeah. I've been in situations where I've lied about how many people I've had sex with.
Yeah.
I always make it like a low double digit number, mm-hmm. enough to like make it, oh, that's slightly impressive.
Yeah.
I've lied because I've been in a situation where I felt inadequate,
yeah.
You know, where I felt like I need to have a good number, or I need to let this person know that, yeah, no, I know what I'm doing. Come on, you know? And I've also been like in my middle school, the go-to insult for like me and my group of friends was like, you're never going to get laid. So, take that, you know, like,
yeah,
never going to get laid, never going to get laid, playing DS, never going to get laid. That was the thing, you know, like whoever had a blowout and tied their dickies to their Nike Air Force Ones,
mm-hmm.
you're never going to get laid, you know? And then I've also been in situations, man, I was about to, where like I am, you know, I'm frozen with like my wants, needs, and desires, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm with someone and I'm in a fairly intimate situation that does not call for, you know, sex.
Yeah.
And then in my head is like, is this sex? Is this sex? No, it can't be sex. Maybe I'm going to have sex. No, is it going to be sex? What's going to happen here? And I'm just like right there, because maybe I don't want to. Maybe I feel like this should come, or it's coming. And I'm frozen in this position. One, because I don't know. Two, because I've been, you know, socialized to want or try and get it.
Yeah.
And then three, you know, just everything, you know, 3, 4, 5, and 6, everything else.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of unlearning. That's the other thing that needs to be done with whomever is here now needs to unlearn. And unlearning is insanely difficult.
I did a lot of, the internet has done a lot of unlearning for me.
Yeah.
You know, I really started getting into feminist issues when I went on Reddit, the feminism subreddit, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, and I had that view of feminism that it's like ridiculous or whatever. And like, you know, the idea of like the feminazi that's like overbearing or whatever, like the hardcore feminist.
Oh, she's just nagging.
Yeah. Or like, you know, just, oh, they're all crazy. And then I went on the sub, right? Like being like, oh, what kind of stupid crap am I going to see here? And I started reading. I'm like, holy shit, this is like a really like a civil discussion.
Yeah.
And these are all really good points. And this just totally changes my view of the world.
I actually,
you know?
Yeah. I'm sorry. You were going to say some more?
No, that's it.
What I was going to say, I've had the good fortune of knowing very strong and like, you know, able and women, you know?
Yeah.
Even in my own home, like the gender roles were very skewed. My mom didn't cook, and she like didn't give a damn about cooking.
Yeah,
you know, and she also made the most money and stuff like that. And then also around the same time when I was like high school was finishing and I was going into college, I had a very valuable teacher, like She's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And her name is Cardona, and she was a women's studies major.
Yeah.
Like a major. So she did a lot of that, and like we'd always talk, and like she'd always, you know, have these very strong and valid opinions that I wish I knew more about.
Yeah.
And I think that was one thing that really helped me, was the need to know more, because I know there's, I think I've told a friend this, that like there's things you should be mad about, mm-hmm. and they all have names, and you need to learn those names. like I hope I'm not oversimplifying it.
Like Tiesto.
Yeah, like Tiesto. That's one of them.
And Keurig coffee pots.
At least that's the things we're mad about at the Black and Jew podcast.
Oh, yeah.
All right. If you, Black and Jew listeners, if you're at a Sears next time, just drop a display. Just drop a Keurig display. Just like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Spit on it.
Coffee and justice.
Yeah. But there's things you should be mad about, and they all have names. And she was the one that told me you should take a women's studies class. You should take all these types of classes. I'm like, all right, I will totally do that. And I did do that. And that's how, one, I got to know more about, like, what's going on everywhere, what's going on between people.
Yeah.
And that's, all around college was its time, like, this happens to everybody. You got two ways you can do this, especially, like, for black people. You got, like, you know, you can be the black person that's, like, you know, Mother Africa is beautiful and fantastic, and every African woman and every black woman's a Nubian queen, which is all right. That's fine. And then you could be like, damn, whitey, y'all are evil, but I'm going to try and combat this as best as I can.
Yeah. Damn whitey. Which one are you? You're the damn whitey evil camp?
Yeah. Damn whitey. Like that's the one to my right. The one that I said the latter was, the more normal one. Like that's like just, I'm kidding. I'm trying to make a joke, but like I was really serious and wasn't in joke mode.
We're having a serious conversation, Reggie.
So
it's not like we're not comedians on this podcast. We're serious social commentators. Let's pretend like we are for a second at least.
So you know, around that time was when I started like, you know, reading up on this stuff, trying to be more aware and trying to unlearn as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because I had some really deep ingrained like prejudices.
Oh,
and,
me
like,
too. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It was almost cognitive, you know, like some of these things like just run in the background so well that like you're not even aware of it. And then one day I had like I ate lunch with this guy named Sam and this guy named Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. And I was with like my friend at the time, Daniela, and we were talking, and the guys I had lunch with, they were RAs, and like one of them was an RA, and mm-hmm. they were like upperclassmen. And we were talking about something, and then he said that in one of his classes, this girl stood up and said, well, if it wasn't for slavery, we wouldn't have people like Michael Jordan.
Oh, God.
And then that led into a whole discussion that I was totally unaware of. Like, I didn't understand what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And then I said something, and then he's like, I'm going to stop you right there. It's called neocolonialism, all right? You have a bunch of people that came to a country that was already made, that was already set. You had large tribes, and then they sat in the middle, pulled out a map, and drew lines where they didn't need to be, that they didn't have need to be lines drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of opened my mind. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. So then that kind of got me into like being more aware and unlearning more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I am today. I still got a lot to learn.
Everybody does.
Yeah, I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot to, like, you know, unlearn. And
I like this. I like the saying that knowledge is not a vessel to be filled, but a flame to be kindled.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just when you really get to, like, you know, get to read about it, and you read essays, and you,
and it's hard to unlearn that shit because you have every fiber of your being, everything that you've been taught from mm-hmm. when you were young, screaming against that, you know. It's like how some North Korean people think that America is a hellhole, you know, like they don't, like, you, this is everything you know and you're taught from all angles, and to break free from that is not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you're from a background where free thinking is not condoned or celebrated.
Yeah,
you know, where free thinking is seen as something bad and you've got to conform to these things, you know. It's like, man, I feel like, getting back to the whole sex thing, I think, like, feel like men sometimes are taught to be sociopaths when it comes to sex, you know? It's like, dude, if that girl, like, You know, if she seems kind of hesitant or whatever, just go in and fucking do it. Like, you just got to do your business. And it's weird how the whole of our culture just is in the bedroom with you, you know, like you're not alone in there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it's like, you know, you just got to, like, it's never like, yeah, dude, if she's like, if like you think that she might want different things out of a relationship than you, you should probably not go ahead for it. Like, that probably is the good thing to teach people.
Yeah.
But instead it's like, dude, if you can get it, like, whatever means necessary, you know, like any sort of manipulation that you can do is totally fair game. Like, that's fucked up,
bro. Let me teach you about negging.
Yeah, like that's really fucked up. And even not in the pickup artist community, it's just, yeah, like you're taught that like any form of manipulation in order to get laid is okay, and that's not a good thing to be teaching people. And you know, it goes against everything I'm taught to say that that's bad. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure that I could say that in some, there's some guys that would roll their eyes and be like, look at this fucking pussy.
Yeah.
Talking exactly. about that, you know?
Talking about that. Like,
you don't want to be a pussy. It's the biggest bad thing to be.
That's the baddest thing to be. Yeah. No, like, yeah, it's such a twisted system. Like the systems that are working against us. And
yeah.
Working for us, but it's bad that they work for us, you know.
Yeah.
In terms of the whole like sex thing, you said this before, but it's incredibly valuable to have like that high, you know, like to have that high number.
Yeah,
because it's you know, for some reason, you, as a dude, your peers and your approval of your peers is so insanely important.
Yeah.
And this is a very easy, you know, opinion to come across. But, mm-hmm. like, it is insanely important. And to just have, you know, to always have this system that keeps you afloat and and lets you know that, don't worry, man, you're not accountable. What was it? You're just trying to get your nut.
Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. Exactly. That's a horrible thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a horrible thing. Like, you know, like there was a situation in FIU where like one fraternity was not only passing around a guidebook to get laid, but they were also like distributing roofies like crazy.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, like there was an email that went around that was like, "All right, guys, if you want to get laid, here are the steps: dance with a girl. If you dance, do a lot of booty dancing because it gets her in the mood. Mm-hmm. Also, pump her full of drinks." And there was this whole like
step-by-step system.
Yeah. And
it's a rape guide.
Yeah. And you have this, and then, you know, this is circulated throughout all these guys. And mm-hmm. like these guys, you know, want to be cool with these other guys, and they want. So then,
and who's going to say like, dude, like maybe we shouldn't, dude, stop being a bitch, bro. Like, you don't want to get pussy.
If you don't, you're not going to be in the frat, you know.
And that's like, and that's not good, you know, that can't be called into question, you know. Yeah. Like, and that happened, you see that permeating so much. It's just like, like by whatever means necessary. And I think that's where it's like going back to the thing with War Machine. Like, can we change it, right? I think that maybe we can't stop all of it, but fuck, dude, if we stop one, that's great, you know. Like, if we stop one rape from happening, that's someone's lives that's changed, you know, positively in an immeasurable way, you know? But I think that it's more than one. It's like you could, maybe you can't stop the psychopaths like War Machine from doing this, or maybe mm-hmm. you can over years and years and different thing and different, you know, changes in mentality. Right. But it's like with those guys in the fraternity, for example, right? Like you could, a lot of them probably out, absent of this culture that they're in this fraternity, mm-hmm. probably wouldn't have never done that, right?
Yeah.
So if you change on that level, right, it's like you know, when you get a stomach infection, you have diarrhea, and that gets rid of like a shitload of bacteria, not all of it, like maybe like 40% of it, and that 60% your immune system's got to take care of. But if you can get rid of that 40% of that diarrhea, that's good, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like with that, you know, if like, what if every fraternity had a thing where, you know, at first maybe they would just roll their eyes at it, but a thing where it's like, hey, like sexual coercion is not okay with women, you know, and that became like the quote unquote cool thing to do or whatever, which would be hard, obviously. But if you could start a culture like that, then you could save a lot of people's lives from being ruined.
Yeah.
You know? And even if it's like, let's say it's a dozen people, it's fucking awesome. It's still awesome, you know? Because that's like a no small thing. So, and then eventually that slowly turns into a much bigger systemic change. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's also a lot of, there's that, and there's also way more, like they did the study where like some people cannot, like some they did the study with like men, and some of them did not know that certain things were considered as rape.
Yeah.
Like that's another thing. Like some of them were just blatantly unaware that this is, you know, this.
Did like you if know you have that? Sex with a woman that has had 10 drinks, that's
yeah.
rape.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, oh, I didn't know. Like they honestly did not know. And that's also a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like sure. Outside of that culture, they were absent of that,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, being in that frat fed to that. But yeah. also if they were absent of that, that absence of that culture also needs to be addressed. Like
yeah.
even beyond like being in a frat or being an MMA fighter or being a football player.
Yeah.
Like from like you said, from the beginning, like the initial inception, like these things need to be discussed. And,
yeah, yeah.
And like, it's, you know, it's always hush hush. It's taboo. Like,
yeah.
Like you're not hanging with your boys and then, you know, you're with them. You're like, you know, you're at the TGIF having some blackberry, you know, margaritas, cause those are delicious. and then you don't like sit down with them and you're like, so, you know, guys, you know, then you have a discussion about rape yeah. culture. That's not happening always.
No.
And that needs to, that's one thing that needs to be happening, you know, yeah. like
it's hard though. Cause some people aren't very open. They're not susceptible to that kind of stuff. Yeah. They're not as open-minded enough to do it. But I think that what happens is you need someone who is open-minded that is in a position of respect, right.
Mm-hmm.
To disseminate that kind of stuff. Cause like, let's say you have a fraternity president that happens to be the open-minded mentality and sees the discussion of rape culture and shit like that. And then is like, you know, like, yeah, I feel like I should address this. And then a bunch of people respect him and he says it. And then...
So the leader monkey says something good and then the yeah, other monkeys like follow exactly. suit.
Exactly.
The other monkeys need to follow suit because it's yeah. just plain and simple. Like not because the leader monkey did it. Like I think like...
I think that's what's going to happen yeah. though. Because whatever. Like the means... That's realistic, I think,
yeah.
is how that's going to happen, you know? Because if you're the kind of person that just follows blindly what someone else thinks, you're going to need someone that you follow blindly to say a thing and then force you to accept that, you know? Or face the being ostracized from your peers, mm-hmm. you know?
Good point.
Yeah. Well, it's got heavy here on Black and Jew podcast today.
Got really heavy.
I'm going to need a cup of coffee after this, some Yemenese coffee. All right. So you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. This All right. was you're right, very heavy episode, but we haven't, this is something that's in, this is what we're dealing with now.
Yeah.
And we're obviously not the best avenue to discuss this. And we have some control of this language, but not yeah. all the way.
Yeah.
But you know, we're here and we're trying to get over there.
All right. So,
Black and Jew listeners, you can find both me and Mike on Twitter. Mike is at Mike Marianoff.
Yep.
I am at @Ratchet_Reggie. You can also find Mike on Facebook at Mike Marianoff Comedy.
And you can find me at the end of on August 27th, I'll be at Wynwood Brewery for the Last Call Comedy Show.
Oh, is that still going on?
Yeah.
Who runs it now?
Jessica Gross?
All right, yeah. Cool.
So until next time, guys.
Oh, wait.
Wait, what?
You can also find the Black and Jew podcast on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Search Black and Jew pod, right?
I think it's facebook.com/ Black and Jew podcast.
Black and Jew podcast. And you can find us on Twitter at Black and Jew pod.
Facebook.com/ Black and Jew podcast and Twitter.com/ Black and Jew pod. So.
And. Oh, where
are you? Is that it?
Oh, I was also going to say, don't forget, guys. Skeletons Wins premiering at the Coral Gables Arts Cinema on the 26th of September. All right. Going to be a nice comedy show. Skeletons Twins stars Kirsten Wiig and Bill Hader. Great SNL like cast members. You know them. You love them. Stefan, Walmart lady. Come on.
All right, guys. So until next time.
Until next time.
See you later.